The opinions and ideas of the guests of Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie are not necessarily that of the host or Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie on the Web Radio Network. And now, Sarah and Debbie.
Hi, everybody. This is Debbie from Shadow Chasers and Hallowed Ground Paranormal. How is everybody doing out there tonight? Sarah, you there?
I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Happy Tuesday night.
Yeah. Man, this year is flying. I mean, January is already gone, and February is, like, almost gone, too.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I know.
It's been crazy. We have a very interesting subject tonight. It's a very in-depth subject, actually. There, you know, really, in order to really do a subject like this justice, I would say we'd have to do two, maybe three shows on something like this. But we're going to, like, barely touch the ground tonight. So the subject that we're going to be talking about, which Sarah, I know you've had experiences with, is called, yes, you have, near-death experiences. And it's interesting because they're saying that there's a good possibility that between 9 to 15% of people have had these. And it's a very controversial subject, controversial by, of course, a scientist coming in and saying, well, it has to do with, you know, endorphins and the way that the brain transmits and the stresses to the brain, lack of oxygen, the list goes on. And then there's others who come on and say, no, you know, as plausible as that could be, it really goes into a lot more. What are your thoughts on that, Sarah?
Well, I can only go off of my personal experience, which we'll get into in a little while, because it's kind of in depth, and I'll try to make it as short as possible. But I think there's other factors that are involved when you have a near-death experience, because I was alert until everything started happening. The doctor had to put me under and put me on life support and stuff. And I could tell what was happening until he inverted me and put me under. And that's when I started experiencing everything that I did. So I do believe that there are other underlying factors, and they probably vary from person to person as far as their personal experience with, you know, the afterlife. Hello.
Do you think it's possible for you to have a near-death experience without having any previous paranormal experiences beforehand?
Good question. And I hadn't really pondered on that, but anything is possible, you know. Nothing is out of the realm of possibility. I mean, anything can happen. So I would have to say, yes, I think that possibly it could happen.
I agree, because you hear a lot of it happening to children. And, you know, most kids, as they're small, they're not really raised with, you know, advice on paranormal or anything like that. Parents don't want to scare their kids or give them any ideas that, you know, of all this stuff going on. So a lot of kids aren't really, you know, knowledgeable on paranormal things. But you do hear about kids having these out of body experiences, near death experiences. And I find it's interesting. It's like if it comes from a child, the chances are it's for real. I think that a child is less likely to make anything like that up versus an adult who would possibly look a lot further into something like that than a kid would.
Well, I've heard children, and I've even been around some children that would say to me, well, I remember such and such, or I remember this person and I was this person and my name was such and such. Where are they getting all of that information from if it's not from a past life, a afterlife, and maybe here we go stretching it. Like you said, this is a broad spectrum topic
Sure.
that we're getting into. Here we go getting into from afterlife into reincarnation as well. And it go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, and we're going to go into that in one of the shows coming up. We're going to go into reincarnation as well. But like
Yes.
you, I really do feel like a lot of times these two subjects do go hand in hand. And
Yeah.
another thing that people also kind of get confused on a near death experience and an out of body experience. Sometimes they confuse the two. They're not the same. They can be very, very closely correlated, but they're not the same.
What makes them different if they're not the same? Because I feel like the spirit leaves the body when you do have an out of body experience, or a near death experience. The spirit does leave the body because I know that mine did. So what would make the two different if they're not the same?
An out-of-body experience can be had at a time that the body itself is not in dire danger. Many people have out-of-body experiences that just occur, or they can actually create it, actually make it happen. Like I know that I believe that's what I used to do as a child.
Now, would that be something like astral travel?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
And a lot of times, you know who was really good at that was Annette. I think I told you the story about when I went to go visit my dad's one time, and I was asleep in the bedroom, and I looked up and I saw this figure standing in the corner of the bedroom, and I'm like, "Oh, what do we have here?" And it was Annette. And what it was, she was astral planing over there, and I could literally see her in the corner. Now, of course, it didn't take on her form. It did not take on her figure. So that, of course, threw me off as well. But it was her. And she's an amazing individual because she can actually say, "All right, be on the lookout because I'm going to come to you tonight, and I'll explain it to you when I see you." And she meant that literally, literally. And she would literally astral plane over to where, well, at that point I was, and we could have a conversation just like you and I are having right now.
Wow.
Yeah, she's amazing. She really is. So that's why I say that the two are actually. One is at a point where your body very possibly could die, could cease to exist.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, and that was the case that you were in a hideous situation.
I was.
But an out-of-body experience of its own is not necessarily under those grounds. It's just something that you can do willfully. Sometimes it's not willfully. You don't realize that you've even done it, or that it's just all of a sudden it happens and you have the ability to do it. But if you can recall, as I was a child, I would do out of body experiences with Hawk all the time. I was gone. I was gone. So, but I've never to my recollection, I have never had an NDE to my recollection. And I really think that's something that I would remember of all the things that I can remember doing, but I don't ever remember having a near-death experience, even though I was put into several situations where I should have, but I didn't. Not that I can remember, but out-of-body experiences I have. Why don't you tell them exactly, tell our listening audience what happened to you and explain, how you had this experience.
Well, what actually happened to me, it wasn't anything that I did per se, but I had switched doctors and went to a doctor that was up in Atmore. And this doctor, whenever I gave him my papers and charts and everything that was going on with me at that point in time, I guess he did not see that I was highly allergic to sulfur, and he gave me lisinopril, which is for high blood pressure, and it has that ingredient in it. And I took it, and I didn't have it in me a couple of hours. I mean, it was less probably than that, and my throat started closing up, my tongue started swelling, and I was choking. I couldn't breathe. And when Raymond and my daughter got me to the hospital, the doctor looked at me and assessed me, and my husband told him what was going on. He said, "Yep." He said, "We've got to work fast." He says, "We're fixing to lose your wife if we don't." He said, "I have a 5-minute window to get her on life support." So the next thing that I know, I'm laying there on the gurney, freaking out because I can't breathe. My throat's closing up faster and faster, and my tongue is starting to swell. And the next thing I know, here comes this team of nurses and this doctor that came in and inverted me, took the gurney and put my head down towards the floor and my feet up in the air. And the next thing I knew, they shot me with something. And I could not move. I couldn't do anything. And I saw black, total blackness. And then I started, it was weird because it felt like that I was submerging in this black ooze. I mean, it was like sludge, but it had sparkles in it. It was crazy. It had gold sparkles, like from a sparkler, when you would light a sparkler on the 4th of July. It had little sparkles in it like that that would fire. And I was totally submerged in that. And then the next thing I know, I was coming out of the golden sparkle sludge, as you would call it. And I was all in white. And I was standing it looking up at a big, tall, marble white staircase. And over to the right, I could see a pedestal, and someone was standing on that white pedestal, and the light was so bright, I could barely look at it. And I knew in an instant that that was God, that that was Jesus. And then my attention was drawn to the left, and there stood my grandmother, my grandfather, my great grandparents, the two babies that I lost, my granddaughter, my little granddaughter that we had just recently lost was there. Several of my loved ones was there, and I gravitated straight towards my grandmother, which, I called her Big Mama. And Debbie, all I can remember is I knew that I had left Earth, and I had left loved ones behind. But there was such a peace and such a feeling of such love that, I mean, it just overpowered me. It just made me happy. It made me feel like there was nothing that could bother me, touch me, or harm me, or do anything to me. And I went straight to my grandmother, and she was holding the babies. And I looked at her and I said, "Big Mama, I'm here." And she looked at me and she kind of smiled at me. She says, "Baby," she says, "you can't stay." I'm like, "But, you know, wait, Big Mama, I'm here. I'm here with you. I don't want to go back. You know, I don't want to be there. I'm here and everything's okay now." And she shook her head at me and she says, "Baby, you have to go back." And that's all she would say to me. And then the next thing I remember is I woke up 4 days later. This took, I guess maybe it took a 4 day span for me to go through all of this and see everything that I saw, because I saw quite a bit. But for making this long story as short as possible for the show, I woke up 4 days later in ICU, and I was tied down to the bed. I must have been trying to get that life support system out of my throat and out of my body. And when I woke up, I heard my family, and I heard my daughter and my mom and my aunt and my cousin. They were all fussing and arguing over something. And of course, I couldn't talk because I had that stuff down my throat and it was breathing for me and keeping me alive. And I woke up and I started crying, and I looked at my daughter and I did my hand from the bed where it was tied to let me write. And so she got a pen and a piece of paper, and I wrote to her. She still got the paper to this day. And I wrote, "What is wrong?" And she told me, she says, "Mom, don't worry about it. I've got it handled." And what it was is my aunt and cousin was arguing with my daughter over some things about me. And, you know, I kept trying to write, you know, and all I could write next to my daughter was, "I'm sorry." And then the nurses come rushing in because they seen me trying to write and seen me crying and getting upset. And then they told my family, they said, "You can't do this. You're going to have to either stop it or get out, because we've got to now sedate her and put her back under." So it was a very traumatic experience, very. But after I come out of ICU and got into a room and was off of the life support system and everything, where I could actually talk and converse with the family and stuff, I told Mom and my dad. My dad was still alive, and I told him about the dream, and I said, "There's something that is fixing to take place that I had to come back for." I said, "Because Big Mama told me I couldn't stay." And I swear, 2 months and 2 days after that experience, my father passed away.
Wow.
And when he did that, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I knew right then and there that that's why I was sent back, because they knew that Daddy was fixing to come and be with them, and he was going to pass over, and that I needed to be here to protect and take care of my mom.
Yeah.
So that was my experience. But I'm telling you, that being where I was in the presence of God, not being able to see him, you know, because the light was so bright, and then being there with my loved ones that I haven't seen in years, and then the two babies that I lost, and then my grandbaby, man, I'm telling you, it gives me chills just talking about it now.
Yeah, I bet. I
It
bet.
was amazing. It was one of the most amazing experiences that I've ever had, which I've had quite a few. I've had quite a few things to happen to me down through my lifetime. I'm now 62 years of age, and that's a lot of years to have near-death experiences and paranormal experiences and everything that I have encountered in the 62 years. That's a lot of luggage, or a long road, I should say, 62 years. But yep, that was my death experience.
And that's what I would consider to be a positive experience.
Yeah, I do.
Was a positive experience. There's a lot of people that have negative experiences with it.
Yeah.
And as wonderful as yours was, as horrible as theirs are, and you know, I think it does kind of also bring the question to light. What is death? When does death occur? Is it when the consciousness leaves the body? Is it when the heart stops? Because the heart stopping and the consciousness leaving the body is not always at the same time, as you well know. So it really begs the question of when does death occur? Exactly. I mean, we all know the scientific reasons, obviously, but consciously, where does that break come from? Where does that break come in at? And again, that's a question for a whole nother show, but it does. It begs an answer when researching into something like this. It
Yeah.
really does beg an answer.
Well, of course, when my experience happened, of course, they had me on life support. And of course, that thing was breathing for me. And of course, my heart was still beating. But yet, my spirit, I know my spirit left my body because I felt it. I felt everything. I felt the lightness that after I come up out of the sludge. And I guess maybe that was maybe my spirit, the way that I feel about the black sludge with the stars, the glitter, like the fire part of it. I feel like that was maybe my soul purging itself, getting rid of all the worldly sorrow and problems that I had here on earth. And I think that my soul was actually purifying itself in order to be where I was at. You see what I'm saying?
I do, and that's a very interesting, approach on that. I mean, it's totally plausible. I mean, I can see that.
Yeah, that's the way I feel because I felt after I come up out of that sludge, I was in white and I felt so light, like I could have just floated away like a cloud. I was so light and so unburdened and uncumbersomed. And I just felt like a whole totally different person, different soul, different spirit, what you will, whatever, and it was so peaceful. I mean, I have longed for that peace since I experienced it at that time. And there's nothing like it here on the face of this earth. I'm serious. There is nothing like it because there's no worries, there's no tears, no pain that you carry around in your heart or your body. Or anything like that, you are completely 1000% free of all of that. And all that you know is that you love everybody and everything around you. It's an amazing feeling. And I'm not doing justice by trying to sit here and, you know, tell you how it felt, because I'm not doing it justice, because I can't even really find the words in order to put it together so you could actually know how it felt, because it is totally that amazing, that superb, that glorious. I mean, it's something that I want. I want it bad. I want to be there. I want to go there when my time's up, and I want that feeling. I want to be with God, and I want to be with my loved ones, because I'm telling you, it's amazing.
The one thing about that bothers me, okay,
what
is that when people hear about these experiences, I don't want people to think that they can seek this out and find it for themselves.
No.
In a case of serious depression or serious emotional distress.
No, you can't do that.
You can't do that. I've often worried about that when you hear people talk about these, you know, near-death experiences. And you're on a whole different level when you do something like trying to take your own life in order to, you know, experience that joy, that uplifting feeling. Please don't think that we are trying to give you a direction as an out.
Right. No, no.
We are not endorsing this in any way, shape, or form. I just want to make that clear from the very get-go. This is a situation that happens. This occurs naturally. It is not brought on it's not something that's created. This is a natural phenomenon that occurs to some people. And please do not think that, you know, you can recreate this by doing something like that. Don't bank on that. Please don't bank on that. So I just want to put that out there.
Right.
Because I think that's really super, super, super important. I remember an experience that I had. It was after my dad's death, although it was completely different. And this was during dream time that I had had this. And interesting thing, I was going through a very, very, very emotional time with a breakup. And this was maybe, I don't think Dad had been gone for a year. And I was just going through a lot. You remember this time, Sarah. And
yeah,
I was really going through a horrible, horrible time. And I remember telling you about this. My dad was sitting beside a river. And we all know what river that is. And he was on the other side of the river. And I was on the opposite side of the river. And I remember him yelling so loud that it literally woke me from my dream or whatever it was. And I remember him screaming, "If you hurt her again, I will come over there and I will kill you myself." And to hear him in such distress and yelling that so loud that it literally woke me up. His voice was audible to where it literally woke me up. I woke up in a sweat. I was like, wow, you know,
what river? Good. What river were you at? You weren't at the River Styx, were you? You were.
There was no
That's
doubt in my mind. That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
And, you know, I was on one side and Dad was on the other. And I had no doubt in my mind that he would have done exactly that. I really think that he would have done exactly that. And it distressed me because, you know, Dad's passing wasn't easy. He struggled. And
Right.
I knew that he rest. And I didn't really hear from Dad for a long time. And I thought, you know, to have him here, you know, he's trying to recover and recoup from going through all of that. And he's having to still, you know, man the sails on this stuff going on over here. And I remember feeling real guilty about that for a long time, that Dad was still having to, you know, protect me. And then, but they always do. They always will. But I had never heard anybody say something with such strength and such fierceness and mean it so much that it woke me out of the sleep, and it took me right out of the situation. It just completely, it immediately just pulled me right out because it literally woke me up. It's a powerful thing. It is amazingly powerful. Now that's not a near-death experience, but it's still a situation where you're reconnecting with, you know, your loved ones that had passed.
Right.
And it just goes to show how tight that connection remains always,
yeah.
always. It doesn't matter if they've passed. The connection is still there. Dad is still Dad. I'm still his daughter. That bond is still there. That's never been broken. It will never be broken. Just like you seeing your relatives from the past. I mean, that's just the way that your family, you're always going to be family. I have mixed. Do I believe in near-death experiences? Absolutely, I do. There's no doubt in my mind, and I don't feel a lot of these experiences are something that we create. I think that they occur. There's a big difference between creating something and having it occur. I think that these occur naturally. And I do believe that these things are totally real. Yes, I can understand where they're talking about, you know, lack of oxygen to the brain, the endorphins. I get it. I do. On the scientific or medical research part of it, I get it. And I do believe that is something that obviously occurs at the time of death. Of course. I mean, the brain is dying. It's stressing. Your entire body is affected, but the brain most of all. It's like the captain going down with the ship. You know, the whole ship is going to go down before the captain's going to go down. Yeah,
right.
The captain's going to. And you know, that's our captain.
And it's strange. It's strange because whenever I was, you know, my throat and my tongue was swelling and cutting off my breath. My body reacted and my body knew that it was on the way out, you know.
On the way out.
The doctor told Raymond that he says, I've got to work fast. He says, I've got to get the crash cart in here and I've got to get the team in here. We've got a 5-minute window before your wife will leave you.
Wow.
And I mean, they took me, inverted me just as fast as anything, started putting needles in me and all these wires and everything else. And I don't remember them putting the thing in my throat and down my throat, thank God, because when I woke up, it was like a flipping octopus with all these tentacles stuck in my mouth, you know. It was the weirdest thing. I mean, I don't ever want to go through anything like that again. I really don't. If I die and it's my time, I'm asking God just to let me peacefully go to sleep. Let me just peacefully go to sleep. Don't put me in the hospital with any of that stuff on me, because it was terrible. It was terrible. It scratched my vocal cords. I could barely talk for about a week or two, and it just, that thing is horrible. It, you know, it's life support, sure, yeah, it's keeping you alive, but it's absolutely horrible.
Yeah, not something I'd want to go through, that's for sure.
Mm-mm. No, I wouldn't want any of my family or my loved ones to have to go through that.
No. Well, in doing research about NDEs, I found out some interesting things. There is actually 16 different elements of what they're saying is characteristic of an NDE. And I think you're going to be able to relate to some of these. Okay. The 16 elements are: number one, time speeds up or slows down. Time is on a different scale.
Yeah.
During this thing, the thought processes speed up.
Yeah.
A return of scenes from the past. So you're reliving things. A sudden insight or understanding.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the things that you were just baffled by before, all of a sudden hits reality and it becomes crystal clear. It's like, yeah, I understand it. You know, I'm understanding it.
Yeah.
A feeling of peace or pleasantness, like what you were just saying, that it was a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
Feeling happiness or joy.
Immense happiness and joy. Yes.
Yeah. A sense of harmony or unity with the universe.
Yep.
Confrontation with a brilliant light.
There you go. Huh.
The senses very vivid.
Yep.
An awareness of things going on elsewhere, as if by extrasensory perception, you know, ESP.
Yep. I could feel things still happening back here, but yet I was there. So, yes, very much so.
Experiencing scenes from the future. That's interesting. Now, that's interesting. That's almost like on a different right there.
Yeah, I don't remember anything of that nature.
Right. A feeling of being separated from the body, which you said from the very beginning.
Yes.
Experiencing a very different, unearthly world. You know, you're not, you know, yeah. Encountering a mystical being or presence, which you said, or hearing an unidentifiable voice. Seeing deceased or religious spirits. And sixth, coming to a border or a point of no return. You're going to have to, at that period, you have a choice. You're going to have to, you're going to have to do something.
Yeah.
Either stay or go.
Yeah, I felt that.
So there's two different studies, and the 16 elements do coincide with the other one, was awareness of being dead, positive emotions, out-of-body experience, moving through a tunnel, communication with light, observation of colors, observation of celestial landscape, meeting with deceased persons, life review, and again, presence of border. So it seems to be running. The similarities seem to be running very neck and neck here. And these are a lot of things, a lot of surveys that, excuse me, that get taken from the American to European. And they're kind of like putting all this together, and they're coming up with, even though there's this major separation culturally, religiously, there is a cultural difference in a lot of this. It still comes down to the same thing. And people are
Right.
still expecting the same thing. And I find that to be fascinating as well.
Well, some
You
people
know, and then
say that when they have an out-of-body experience, that their spirit floats above their body and they're looking down on their body. I did not have that experience. My soul was like whoosh, and it was out of my body. And experiencing the sludge, with the sparkles in it. And I did not hover above my body. I did not look back. I went straight into the process of what I said, that I felt like my spirit was cleansing itself. So some people say that they hover, and some people say that they go and visit a loved one before, their spirit passes on. There's so many avenues and so many ways that people experience their out of body experience, because like I was saying, I think you said it too in the very beginning of the show, that each near death experience is unique to that
yes.
person,
Right.
So
Right.
it
It not, this is not a cookie cutter thing at
Oh
all.
no. It's totally different for every single person.
Right. Basically, medical science has a different way of looking at it.
Right.
Medical science says that the physiological theories tend to focus on somatic, biological, or pharmacological explanations for NDE, often with the emphasis on the physiology of the brain itself. Variables that are all summarized by researchers, including anoxia, cerebral hypoxia, hypercarbia, endorphins, serotonin, the various neurotransmitters, temporal lobe dysfunctions and seizures, the NMDA receptor, activation of the limbic system, drugs, and processes linked to rapid eye movement, sleep, or phenomena generated on the border between sleep and wakefulness.
Right.
And this is a much more medical point of view, as they're looking at, the brain shutting down, the brain
Yeah.
dying, and in last moments, whatever.
Well, I believe they say that
And then,
when we are in REM, which is rapid eye movement, that's the state of subconsciousness that we are in between being awake and being totally 100% asleep. And that's where our dreams will usually happen, is when we are in REM, rapid eye movement. Is that correct, or am I incorrect on that?
no, you're right. You are correct.
Okay. I thought I had read that somewhere.
Yes. There's a third model that they talk about. It's usually falls outside the scope of the physiological or psychological explanations. It basically goes into a model that considers when the NDE might be related to the existence of an afterlife, a changing state of consciousness, mystical peak experiences, or the concept of a mind-body separation. It goes into the main brain, the mind-brain relationship, as well as the possibility of human consciousness. You know, when we discuss all of this stuff, I guess it just comes down to, what do you believe? What do you think?
Yeah,
The
of
people.
course.
Absolutely. The people that have had these NDEs, you can't tell them what they've experienced. They know what they've experienced. I don't really know of too many people that have had an NDE and came out saying, I'm sure it was just my mind, in its last struggling stages, and my, thought process was just that of a dying mind, and that's just it just happened to no, no bullshit. That's not, I'm sorry, but that's
Right.
not what these people out with. They come back out with, this was an experience that I had. It was life altering. It was something that was not something that a dying brain came up with. This was something that a brain that was in a transitional state where I was hovering between life and death.
Right.
And I was visited. When you've had a dream that's not a dream and you wake up from it, you know the difference between a dream and a an experience that you've had during sleep time that's not a dream.
Right.
People know the difference. And to me, this is something that is just a phenomenon. I just think that I don't know if it's singular to the human mind. I wonder if animals have something like that. Are they capable of doing something like that? I mean, I don't know. Heck, we can't figure ourselves out, much less an animal. But it's interesting to think. But are we singular in that? Is the
Yeah.
human the only thing capable of doing something like this?
Well, that's something that we probably will never know the answer to because you know as well as I do that most animals are very highly intelligent. They can learn, they can learn tricks that we teach them. They do their best to try to talk to us when they get used to us. I know my two Chihuahuas in there, they talk to us and they know what we're saying to them. So when they pass away, I believe that they do have some sort of experience because everything that has breath, I do believe God gave a soul, you know, and
Yes.
I do believe that animals, because I have seen animals in heaven. So I know that our pets that we've lost down through the years, that they are in heaven. I know they are, and people cannot make me believe anything different. And they're welcome to their belief. They can say, no, pets don't have a soul, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're fine. I agree that you are 100% correct where you can believe what you want to believe, and I can believe what I want to believe. But my God tells me, my Bible tells me that when God created animals, he gave them breath because they're breathing air too. And every
Right.
living thing that has breath has a soul. That's just my beliefs. Now, people can argue the point if they want to, you know, that's fine. That's their beliefs, you know, but I have my beliefs, and like our disclaimer is, our beliefs are not necessarily the beliefs of our producer or, you know, anybody in staff on the show or any of our listeners. These are our beliefs, and we're not
Right.
trying to push them on anyone. But if you really want to get down to it and get in the nitty-gritty, you need to get your Bible down and start reading those verses and then start adding two and two and coming up with four instead of coming up with 16, you know, you got to get in the meat of the subject and the meat of the word and start studying this if this interests you, which it has interested me all my life. And I have done a lot of research on it, had a lot of experiences down through my life, like I said. And this is my personal life, my personal experiences, and my personal beliefs. And I believe that animals have souls. I do.
Well, I have to admit, I'll be very upfront with it. As you know, I drive for a living and I come across all these beautiful, beautiful creatures that have been run over, hit by cars.
Yeah,
And
I
I
know.
always care for them, that their sweet little allowed to, arise and be with the Lord in the kingdom of his blessed kingdom of heaven, you
Yeah.
know, because, you know, they feel pain.
Sure they
I
do.
mean, they feel scared. They get hungry, they get thirsty, they get lonely, and they get scared and they get hurt. So, I mean, but every little body that's on the street, to me, I say a prayer over each and every one. And, you know, sometimes I amaze myself. I might say 200 of those in the day, but I don't care because every one of them are important to me.
Yeah.
Every one of those little creatures are important to me, regardless of how big or how small. And,
And you can't tell me that the mamas that have their little babies and stuff don't love those babies,
oh,
because
yeah.
you see like monkeys and koala bears and kangaroos and stuff, how the moms reach out to their babies and cuddle them to them or let them suckle and feed, and you know they show their way of love to their babies, and
Oh, yeah.
how people can, you know, hurt these beautiful animals. And it just breaks my heart every year whenever it gets deer season, because you know, it hurts my heart to know that deer are being shot and killed and butchered, but I also know the other side of that. We need meat. We are meat eaters, you know, and you know, we need the protein, and I understand that part of it, but it still hurts my heart to know that that animal lost its life, and gave its life's blood and its meat to us so it can sustain us. That's why we as Native Americans, when a Native American makes a kill in order to feed their family, they stop before they ever cut the animal or anything else, and they thank the animal for giving its life's blood for them to live.
Absolutely.
You know, and these, excuse my French, these damn trophy hunters out there that travel over to Africa, and just the thrill of shooting an elephant or a lion or any other precious animal over there just for the joy of killing it, man, that gets my cuckoo burr up, and I am ready to just rage through a china shop like a bull over that, because I think that that is a total waste. That is a disregard for life. And it's an animal, yes, but it still breathes. It has a heart that beats, and its blood runs through its veins, and it is an animal that God created. And I don't believe in the trophy hunting
No.
whatsoever.
Every life is precious.
Yes, it
Is
is.
that, it doesn't matter how small. Every life is precious. And
And you know, I get really emotional about that, especially when we lost Steve Irwin, when he passed away like he did. When that hit the news, I cried like I knew the man, like I had known him for all of my life. And I felt such a great loss when we lost him.
oh yeah, that
And
was a huge.
that was a huge hit to humanity and
That
animals
was.
alike. Yeah. But people
Absolutely.
just don't stop and think. They think that just because it's an animal that they can abuse it and do whatever the hell they want with it. No, you can't, because I believe that if you do that to animals, you abuse animals, even your cats or your dogs or birds or anything that you might obtain to make your life happy or whatever, if you mistreat that animal, you will stand before God, and God will ask you why you treated that animal in such a cold-hearted manner.
Oh
You're
yeah.
gonna have to answer for it. All of us are gonna have to answer for a lot of things that we don't realize now that we're gonna have to answer for. But boy, some of us are gonna be caught with our britches down when we stand before God. I'm mighty afraid that we're gonna be ashamed of the things that we've done.
Oh, I don't doubt that in the very least. Even the ones that have tried to leave the the best life that they possibly can, it's like, yeah, you're not going to get away with,
No.
not unscathed.
No. Everything that's done in dark is brought to light. So everything that you do is being written down. It's being written down in the book of your life, and one day you're gonna have to answer for it.
Yeah. Well, I'll just have to handle that when the time comes. Just gonna hope for the best on that one.
Well, you need to
But
make peace with your maker before your time comes, because if you don't, then, like I said, a lot of us are going to be caught with our bridges down and we're not going to make it into the pearly gates. We're going to be going
yeah.
elsewhere, and I've got too much devilment here on earth as it is now dealing with what I have to deal with, and I dang sure don't want to pass over into eternity and have to deal with it.
No, that's not my goal.
The devil don't want me to come down there because he's afraid I'll take over.
You have that.
I probably would.
There is a huge dispute on this particular subject. Well, quite a few of these subjects, a lot of them to me are connected. Just like I was saying, an out of body experience versus the NDE. A lot of people get them confused, or they, they tend to merge the two, and they really are two different things. But they are very closely connected to me. They are very close, like astral planing, same thing. It's very similar. It is actually connected, I do think. Something like what happened with me that night, that is very connected. And I really do think a whole lot of it does come down to your particular belief system, and what comfort do you get into believing something like this? Like I was saying earlier, we certainly don't want to condone it for anybody who's thinking about, they're having things really hard right now, that this is a route for them to go because it sounds pretty cool. No, that's no, not that's not what we're saying at all. But they're saying that only, what, 9 to 15% of people do this. I don't know about you. I feel like that's a lot higher.
That's what I was fixing to tell you. That is higher simply because, no, it's not researched and it's not documented, that it is higher. But that's because a lot of people, they're scared to come forward and tell what happened to them before the simple reason they're afraid that people's going to think they're bonkers, going to think they're
Exactly.
totally off their rocker,
There's a lot of people out experiencing it who just simply haven't said anything about it.
Exactly.
No.
It's still like with the paranormal world. If you go around and like what we've done, and people come up to us, have you really seen a ghost? Well, yes, we have many times, multiple times over. And then they look at you like you're freaking psychopath or something.
I just said last night. Last night it was posed to me, is there really such a thing as a ghost? Come with me one night. Come with me to the places we've gone to, and then ask me again. But it's like I tried to explain it as best as I could, that a lot of people don't experience things like that because they don't permit themselves to.
Right, they're not open to that realm. But once you've opened your mind to that realm of existence, you can see it. If
Yeah.
you stop and still yourself long enough, and be quiet, you can hear them talking, you can hear them whispering, you can hear them singing, you can hear them clanging and banging and doing all the things that they do, and you can physically see them if they are willing to manifest to show themselves to you. But you got to be open to the experience. You can't be closed off. You can't be closed minded. And it's okay to have the skeptics out there, because they're what push us researchers or us paranormal investigators to continue to further our, you know, exploration into the paranormal world. Skeptics are fine. They're great. But if you want to experience this, you know, you've got to be open to the adventure, because it definitely is a journey and it is an adventure.
Well, it definitely is that.
If you're easily scared, you better get ready. Better get ready. Oh, because some of the stuff we've seen, I'll tell you, it would scare the average person to death.
Yeah, and you know, it's like if you take all the experiences of a lot of the paranormal teams that are out there, and you put all these experiences together, and you combine them in like a story type of a book, you know, different paranormal experiences. Wow. I mean, just wow, what you would come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like as a collective, some amazing stuff out there, and you know, the different things that people are permitted to see, and yes, that people are permitted to see, is just, it's mind blowing.
The world is a vast place, and there are so many things that we have yet to, you know, research and yet to experience, and you know, it's just, I don't know, man. If you stop and think about it too long, it'll blow your mind.
Oh, it is. It is. It's like with the universe to me. I could never be an astronomer, because the universe to me is so far-fetched. I look at these galaxies and I'm like, and you're telling me those little dots are planets? Look how many of them there are. You're telling me those are all planets. Possible life on any of the one of them. I cannot wrap my mind around it.
No,
it's
I can.
just I've never been able to. I've never been able to look at that huge conglomeration and think those are all planets. I mean, my brain is telling me of course they're planets, you know, but the visual conception of it, I can't. It's too much. It's a mind-blown kind of a situation.
Well, it's too much for our simple mind to comprehend. And I say that simple mind because we only use 10% of our brain. If we use the other 90% of our brain, can you even imagine what we could do?
I can't imagine the 10%.
Yeah, the 10% gets pretty boggled sometimes, like you know, from day to day chores and living and responsibilities. But just imagine if we could use the other 90%, we could probably move objects with our mind. We could telekinesis, where we could, you know, you could be there and I could be here and I could talk to you without the phone. We could talk to each other just by simply speaking in our mind to each other. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be phenomenal. I mean, the things that the mind could do and all the possibilities that are out there, I mean, it would just be mind-blowing.
I mean, I always wondered how on earth Annette could do what she did, you know, and it's like, how could you possibly be here? Because I know you're 500 miles south from here right now. Yeah, I'm looking at your.
She had mastered teleportation, you know, astral flying.
She's amazing. She's absolutely amazing. And, you know, I mean, when someone tells you that they're capable of doing something like that, you just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And you don't really think anything more about it,
Right.
honestly. But
It's
when I
about
was
the,
trying to move away and I noticed that, oh my God, that's a net in the corner. That was mind blown right there. It was like, how do you do this?
But see, this goes back to what I was telling in one of the previous shows where each one of us are born with gifts that
Right.
God gives us. And it's up to us down through our lifetime to figure out what those gifts are and to master those gifts. And maybe that's a gift that God gave Annette, and she just happened to find it and master it. I
Yes.
mean, you never know. God is amazing, and he is, I don't even have a word to describe God because he's just such an amazing spirit, and he gave each of us, like I said, phenomenal gifts at birth, even before birth, because he knew our names before we were even conceived. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
He knew us. He knew us by name before our parents conceived us. That's, man, I tell you, that just, I just, in my mind's eye, I'm seeing the universe just explode with the power of what I just said. That's, I don't even have a word for it. It's
Yeah.
just too spectacular.
Yeah,
Too
it is.
spectacular. And for the people out there that don't believe, that there is a God, and you might be atheist or whatever, and stuff, man. That's great. That's you. That's the journey that you've chosen and the path that you've chosen. We're not putting anybody down, but I'm just going off of the religious background that I have been grown up with all of my lifetime, and I do believe in the higher being. I believe in God, and I believe that He created this magnificent planet that we're on. And if he created us, open your mind just a little bit. If he created us and all of the other planets around the earth, you got to believe that there is life on those other planets.
Oh, sure.
He's
Oh,
not just
absolutely.
going to create us and stop, because he is a masterful being. His wisdom and his brain is, I imagine that it's just phenomenal. I can't wait to sit down and talk to him. I hope
Yeah.
and pray that God gives me the chance to be able to sit down and talk with him, and I want to pick his brain. I want to know what, well, why did you do this? And how did you make this? I got a lot of questions for God.
I don't. I just,
Oh, I do.
I'm winging it, girl. I am just winging it. But this whole thing about the NDEs are just another part of it that really fascinates me is how people will have a near-death experience and they will actually see an event in the future. As
Precog.
yeah, and usually when people have an event like that happen, it's usually pretty darned accurate. Pretty darned accurate.
I've had precogs before, and I would see it and know that one of my kids was going to be going that route or going to this place at such and such a time. And I would call them and say, look, baby, take a different route. Don't go down this way, and then don't go to the store at this time or this day. Pick another time to go. And 9 times out of 10, they always would call me back and say, Mom, you were right. because such and such happened, or there was an accident where I would have been, and blah blah blah. You know, I've had precogs quite a bit, and I've done that to some of my friends before, and quite frankly, be honest with you, it scared the hell out of them. Some of them even quit talking to me because it scared them so bad.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you want, I mean, I would, if I had a friend that knew something bad was possibly going to happen, I would want them to tell me. And I'll give you another experience. Here's another experience that I had. My son had a good friend by the name of David, and they graduated together. And right out of high school, when they graduated, David came to me and he says, "Mom," he always called me Mom. He's, all the kids that the kids ever had over, they always called me Mom, either Mom or Mama White. And he come to me and he says, "I've joined the military." And when he said that to me, I looked at him and I said, "Oh no." I said, "Baby, please don't tell me that." And he looked at me kind of puzzled and he says, "I have, Mama." He says, Why are you saying that?" And I looked at him and I said, "David," I said, "something bad is fixing to happen worldwide." I said, "I can't put my finger on it, but I said, I know it's going to be devastating. And you going into the military, I said, you may not be in on it at the very beginning, but I said, you're going to be in on it in the middle of it. And I said, I'm scared for you, son." And so we talked a little bit and he says, "Mom, it's too late. I've done signed up," and da da da, you know. So I kind of pushed it to the side. And do you know what happened 3 days after we had that conversation?
What's that?
The Twin Towers happened.
Oh, yeah.
The Twin Towers and 9/11 happened. I couldn't believe it whenever I got up that morning and turned the TV on and I seen all of this chaos and the planes flying into the Twin Towers and all of the devastation and stuff. I couldn't believe it, but I knew 3 days before that something major was fixing to happen worldwide.
That it did.
Yep.
That it did.
I hate it whenever I get premonitions of that nature because it really bothers me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's just all comes down to there are such great mysteries in the world today, and we'll never understand a quarter of them, much less half of them. So we're constantly on our missions to learn, to understand what's going on out there. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
But the ride is great. Going along for that ride is amazing. It's great. So, you know, I'm still going to be looking for that NDE. Hopefully, I mean, I don't want it to. Having an NDE is usually at the end of something that's pretty hairy. So, but hopefully if there's ever a time like that, hopefully maybe one day I'll be able to experience my own. But I hope that if you ever are in a position to have another one of those, I hope that you can get some pleasure out of it. And again, I mean, this is a huge topic for the people that listen in. Talk to us about this, because this is still very much of an open subject. And want to learn as much about that as we can.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a like we said at the beginning, it's a very broad spectrum as far as a subject and a topic of conversation. I mean, I don't think we will ever, ever have all the answers.
Oh, no. No, you know, some mysteries are meant to not be solved. I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah.
And I think
But
this is probably.
I believe when, we do cross over and we get to meet God, I believe that all of our questions that we have that we'll know the answers to. I believe that he will explain things to us. So we'll see. We'll
Yeah,
see.
that is the truth. Well, Sarah, I think it's been a very interesting subject tonight.
It has
And
been.
anybody out there who would like to contribute and talk to us about what experience that you could have had, we would love to hear from it. And I mean, lessons can be given from anyone at any time. So if you've had an experience like that and you think it's got a lot of meaning to you and you want to share it, come on, give us a call and let's go on ahead and let's put that thing out there because I love sharing things with everybody that listens.
Yeah,
So
I do too.
do you have anything else you'd like to contribute, Sarah?
Well, we just need to make a announcement about the Paracomicon. We're going to do that until that weekend gets here because I'm looking so forward to it. It's August the 19th and 20th, and it's in Ozark, Alabama. And you guys are not going to want to miss this. It's going to be amazing. And we want to thank Web Radio and Stan and Teresa Fikes, our producers. And thank y'all for doing everything that you do for us. We appreciate it greatly. And last, before I say good night, and then you can say what you need to say, got to give a shout out to our number one fan, Kai, my little grandson, who's 10 years old, he faithfully follows us on Spotify. He listens to us. So, Kai, thank you, honey. And me and Aunt Debbie, I love you, baby. And thank you for following us, okay? And everybody out there that's been listening to us now live and then who will listen later after we've ended the show, thank you all so much for following us. And we appreciate it very much. And like the radio show and share it if you can and tell everybody about it. And come back and be with us again every Tuesday night, somewhere around 7 o'clock, usually between 7 and 7:30, because sometimes we do have technical difficulties. But we greatly appreciate you guys. You got anything you
Yep.
want to say, sis?
No, just thank you again for everybody hanging in there with us. And we want to make you guys more proactive with the radio show. We want to hear your beliefs, what your belief system is to anything, any one of our topics. Definitely share those with us. We're
Yes.
we are interested.
Yep, definitely.
But now next week, I wanted to go ahead and give a shout out here. We've got an amazing guest coming next week.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot. Tell
Ah,
who's coming.
Ralph Sarchi. He was the retired New York police officer who wrote a book about his experiences with the paranormal while on duty on the New York City Police Force. And he's got a book out there, Deliver Us from Evil, of which there's a movie that was made as well. And Ralph was portrayed by Eric Bannis in this movie.
Woo-hoo.
That man is not bad on the eyes at all. I will tell you what.
No, he's not. That's why I went, woo.
So Ralph Sarchi is going to be here next week, and he's going to just. We're just going to talk to him about what his experiences were being in the police department in New York City and experiencing all these things. I mean, it's going to be absolutely fascinating. Fascinating, fascinating. So we have Ralph coming up on the 28th, and then after that, a couple of weeks after that, we've got Adam. from Camp 31 that's going to be coming in. And 2 weeks after that, we've got Chef Ernie. That's
Yay.
it. Yeah.
Those guys are going to be awesome. You guys are going to absolutely love both Adam and Chef Ernie. So.
So we do. We still got a lot more really cool things coming up. And looking forward to every one of them. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, that we've talked about, bring it up
Yeah.
to us. We can go ahead and put it on the air. But Sarah, it was good talking to you again.
Good talking to you, and thank you for a great topic and discussion tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good. It was very good. And good night, everybody, and be safe out there. We love you guys. We'll be talking to you again on Tuesday next week at 7 Central Time.
Yeah. God bless everybody and have a great rest of the week and a fabulous, beautiful weekend.
Good night.
Okay.